what with the promise of anti-dementor lessons from Lupin, the thought that he might never have to hear his mother's death again, and the fact that Ravenclaw flattened Hufflepuff in their Quidditch match at the end of November, Harry's mood took a definite upturn. Gryffindor were not out of the running after all, although they could not afford to lose another match. Wood became repossessed of his manic energy and worked his team as hard as ever in the chilly haze of rain that persisted into December. Harry saw no hint of a dementor within the grounds. Dumbledore's anger seemed to be keeping them at their stations at the entrances. 2 weeks before the end of term, the sky lightened suddenly to a dazzling opaline white, and the muddy grounds were revealed one morning covered in glittering frost. Inside the castle there was a buzz of Christmas in the air. Professor Flitwick, the charms teacher, had already decorated his classroom with shimmering lights that turned out to be real, fluttering fairies. The students were all happily discussing their plans for the holidays. Both Ron and Hermione had decided to remain at Hogwarts, and though Ron said it was because he couldn't stand 2 weeks with Percy, and Hermione insisted she needed to use the library, Harry wasn't fooled. They were doing it to keep him company, and he was very grateful. To everyone's delight, except Harry's, there was to be another Hogsmeade trip on the very last weekend of term.
"We can do all our Christmas shopping there," said Hermione. "Mum and Dad would really love those tooth-flossing string mints from Honeydukes."
Resigned to the fact that he would be the only third year staying behind again, Harry borrowed a copy of Witch Broomstick from Wood and decided to spend the day reading up on the different makes. He had been riding one of the school brooms at team practice, an ancient shooting star, which was very slow and jerky. He definitely needed a new broom of his own. On the Saturday morning of the Hogsmeade trip, Harry bid goodbye to Ron and Hermione, who were wrapped in cloaks and scarves, then turned up the marble staircase alone, and headed back towards Gryffindor Tower. Snow had started to fall outside the windows, and the castle was very still and quiet.
"Psst! Harry!"
He turned, halfway along the third-floor corridor, to see Fred and George peering out at him from behind a statue of a hump-backed, one-eyed witch.
"What are you doing?" said Harry curiously. "How come you're not going to Hogsmeade?"
"We've come to give you a bit of festive cheer before we go," said Fred with a mysterious wink. "Come in here."
He nodded towards an empty classroom to the left of the one-eyed statue. Harry followed Fred and George inside. George closed the door quietly, and then turned, beaming, to look at Harry.
"Early Christmas present for you, Harry," he said.
Fred pulled something from inside his cloak with a flourish and laid it on one of the desks. It was a large, square, very worn piece of parchment, with nothing written on it. Harry, suspecting one of Fred and George's jokes, stared at it.
"What's that supposed to be?"
"This, Harry, is the secret of our success," said George, patting the parchment fondly.
"It's a wrench giving it to you," said Fred,
"but we decided last night your need's greater than ours." "Anyway, we know it off by heart," said George. "We bequeath it to you.
We don't really need it any more."
"And what do I need with a bit of old parchment?" said Harry.
"A bit of old parchment?"
said Fred, closing his eyes with a grimace, as though Harry had mortally offended him.
"Explain, George."
"Well, when we were in our first year, Harry, young, carefree, and innocent—" Harry snorted. He doubted whether Fred and George had ever been innocent.
"Well, more innocent than we are now. We got into a spot of bother with Filch. We let off a dung bomb in the corridor, and it upset him for some reason. So he hauled us off to his office and started threatening us with the usual detention, disembowelment, and we couldn't help noticing a drawer in one of his filing cabinets marked Confiscated and Highly Dangerous."
"Don't tell me," said Harry, starting to grin.
"Well, what would you have done?" said Fred.
"George caused a diversion by dropping another dung bomb. I whipped the drawer open and grabbed this."
"It's not as bad as it sounds, you know," said George. "We don't reckon Filch ever found out how to work it. He probably suspected what it was, though, or he wouldn't have confiscated it."
"'And you know how to work it?'
"'Oh, yes,' said Fred, smirking. "'This little beauty's taught us more than all the teachers in this school.'
"'You're winding me up,' said Harry, looking at the ragged old bit of parchment.
"'Oh, are we?' said George.
He took out his wand, touched the parchment lightly, and said,
"'I solemnly swear that I am up to no good.'
And at once thin ink lines began to spread like a spider's web from the point that George's wand had touched. They joined each other, they criss-crossed, they fanned into every corner of the parchment. Then words began to blossom across the top, great, curly, green words that proclaimed,
"'Messrs. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot and Prongs, purveyors of aids to magical mischief-makers, are proud to present the Marauder's Map.'
It was a map showing every detail of the Hogwarts castle and grounds. But the truly remarkable thing was the tiny ink dots moving around it, each labelled with a name in minuscule writing. Astounded, Harry bent over it. A labelled dot in the top left corner showed that Professor Dumbledore was pacing his study. The caretaker's cat, Mrs. Norris, was prowling the second floor, and Peeves the poltergeist was currently bouncing around the trophy room. And as Harry's eyes travelled up and down the familiar corridors, he noticed something else. This map showed a set of passages he had never entered, and many of them seemed to lead...
"'Right into Hogsmeade,' said Fred, tracing one of them with his finger. "'There are seven in all. Now, Filch knows about these four,' he pointed them out, "'but we're sure we're the only ones who know about these. Don't bother with the one behind the mirror on the fourth floor. We used it until last winter, but it's caved in, completely blocked. And we don't reckon anyone's ever used this one, because the Whomping Willow's planted right over the entrance. But this one here, this one, leads right into the cellar of Honeydukes. We've used it loads of times. And, as you might have noticed, the entrance is right outside this room, through that one-eyed old crone's hump.
"'Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot and Prongs,' sighed George, patting the heading of the map. "'We owe them so much.
"'Noble men, working tirelessly to help a new generation of lawbreakers,' said Fred solemnly.
"'Right,' said George briskly. "'Don't forget to wipe it after you've used it,
or anyone can read it,' Fred said warningly.
"'Just tap it again and say, "'Mischief managed,' and it'll go blank.'
"'So, young Harry,' said Fred, in an uncanny impersonation of Percy, "'mind you behave yourself.'
"'See you in Honeydukes,' said George, winking. They left the room, both smirking in a satisfied sort of way.